Hello and welcome to season 2 of To My Younger Self, To My Older Self. My name is Donna. How are we today? I hope you're well, safe and staying sane. I can't believe it. It's been a year. We're still in the midst of this pandemic. We're still under restrictions and lockdown. And I've got to say, I have to really say that I appreciate every single one of you that have listened to my shows in 2020 and for listening again in 2021. What I am really interested in is what you guys are doing to stay sane and what are you doing throughout lockdown to keep your energy up and keep your spirits up, because I know it's been a really tough time for so many people out there. The entire world, millions of people are affected by this, so I am very curious. I want to know, let the other listeners know, what is it you're doing that's keeping you going through this lockdown, whether it's talking to your friends and family on Zoom once a week or a couple of times a week, whether it's more exercise, whether it's meditation, whether it's yoga. I'm very interested, so please get in touch, drop me a voice note on Anchor or drop me a message on Facebook. Just let me know, let me share it, you know. I want to do an episode on coping mechanisms, you know. We all need to help each other out, so what's working for you, don't be shame, don't be shy, step forward and let me know what you're doing through lockdown to keep yourself busy and keep yourself sane. Now, on the subject of health and well-being, you're going to love my next interview. It's a lady called Sandra, and I've known Sandra for many, many years, since I was a young girl and a young teen. She runs a business that deals with magnetic therapy, and if you check out worldofsandra.com, she's got the most beautiful jewellery, the most beautiful piece of magnetic jewellery. Even if you're not into magnetic therapy, they are so beautiful and they're so pretty, and you know, they're just gorgeous. So if you like pretty jewellery, it's also up your street. Sandra's also on Facebook, on Instagram, and she even has a community set up. So I'm going to let Sandra tell you all about that and not give too much away and spoil the surprise. We talk about health, well-being, family and friends, and of course I ask Sandra my three favourite questions. There's actually four, actually, because I'm throwing in another one this year in season 2, and I am going to be asking my interviewees also what they're doing throughout lockdown and how they're keeping sane through lockdown, because I think it's really important to kind of share that and get that out there, and you know, maybe you'll find something for you. Anyway, without further ado, this is episode 1 of season 2 and this is my interview with Sandra. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to another episode of To My Younger Self, To My Old Self. My name is Donna. How are we today? Now, on this week's episode, I have a fabulous and most amazing lady on here, and her name is Sandra, and she is a marketing director dealing with magnetic therapy. Now, I absolutely love magnetic therapy and alternative therapy. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm not telling you what to do with your life. I'm not licensed to. However, it is up to you. But Sandra is here, and she's the marketing director of World of Sandra. And World of Sandra sells a beautiful, beautiful selection of magnetic jewelry and other products as well. I'm going to let Sandra tell you all about it. And Sandra also, if you do want to check out her jewelries and healthcare products, including vitamin D, which in winter, I'm sorry, is pretty important to be taking. Don't sue me for saying that, but hey, we all know that, right? And it's worldofsandra.com. And Sandra's also on the socials as well. She's on Instagram, so check out worldofsandra.com on Instagram. Do your search and don't forget to follow and like, and also on Facebook. And now the great thing about Sandra is that she does a live session on her Facebook Live once a week, and you know, talking about therapies, magnetics, and just health and well-being in general and how to look after yourself. And in the world that we're living right now with the pandemic going on, taking care of yourself physically and mentally is ever so important. And this is what I love about Sandra and World Sandra. It's just putting your health and your mental well-being, you know, on the forefront, front and center. Look after yourself and take that time to do that. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Sandra over to all of you guys. Sandra, how are you today?
I'm very well, Donna. Thank you very much. And I'm really excited about being with you here today.
I'm excited to have you on because, you know, I watched one of your live sessions the other week and your personality. I mean, I've known you for many years since I was a little girl. And, you know, I just saw this personality, this glowing Sandra out there, you know, talking her truth, talking about her journey, talking about the beautiful jewelry that you're selling and the benefits of that. And, you know, once again, looking after yourself. And like I said, I do say this a lot on this podcast, is that I'm not a licensed therapist or a doctor. I'm a person that just likes to talk, and I'm very interested in what people do, and health and well-being is something that I am interested in. You know, I do my yoga, I like to meditate, and one of the things with the pandemic, and for me personally, you know, being quite isolated, I try and keep myself kind of motivated in that way and taking that time out for myself and try and have a positive mental attitude. And I think that for me personally, that's what's carried me through a lot of this pandemic and still allows me to have this kind of pretty reasonable kind of bubbly persona, so to speak. So I'm actually going to add an extra question in here, which I'm tempted to do. And I'm going to ask you, Sandra, how have you been managing yourself and throughout this pandemic and keeping yourself sane?
Well, that is one of the things, as you say, that I do talk about in my weekly live on Facebook, and just to support the people that come on about what we can do better. Now, one of the things for me is that my business, worldofsandra.com, meant that I do a sort of like party plan thing where I used to go out to people's homes like Friday, Saturday and Sunday evenings and show my products and that kind of thing and everything else. And then last year, when the pandemic came and we were in lockdown, I thought, oh my God, my business is gonna die. What am I gonna do? This is the end of it. So we all got together and decided what we were gonna do, and we decided to go online. So basically all I've done to keep me sane is to go online with the business. And it didn't only affect my business, but I actually also do work full time. Mm-hmm. And so that meant, and then as a shielder, because I, what would it be, 11 years ago, I had a full organ liver transplant. And so that meant I've also actually been home since the 18th of March last year. Wow. And it's been about how I've actually kept my sanity and maintained my well-being since then. And I was, I would say, petrified to go out and meet anybody, because I thought that if I see somebody, this thing is going to just jump and touch me or whatever else. There's some mad feelings that we were getting in the beginning, that you don't want anyone to touch you. And I wouldn't even mind if that was an issue for me to be concerned about, because I actually went into lockdown with COVID. So as soon I left work on the Wednesday, my husband said he wasn't well on the Friday. By the Tuesday, my daughter wasn't feeling well. Wow. And by the Wednesday, Thursday of that week, I knew I was going the same way. And we were all sick for most of April. So I put the signs on the door and everything. And so when I came back and I went back online, it was all about my journey, really, of what we actually did that through that to try and support ourselves. Because at the end of the day, when they said that we had to stay home and we had to stay safe, whilst I wasn't isolated, because I know there were a lot of people that were at home on their own, there were three of us here and none of us could do anything. How can you wipe down the house? How can you make sure that everything stays clean? How can you make sure that there are three sets of flannels and towels and everything? How can you make sure that you've got two toilets, but there were three of you? You can't, and the number of bathrooms and everything else. And nobody actually had the energy to deal with anybody. So that was quite isolating in itself, in that we were able to split ourselves off into three different spaces. But the food, what we planned and everything to eat and everything else, that was all going to waste because nobody had the energy to cook it or eat it. Wow. So all of the people that you saw out there hoarding food, I knew it was a waste of time because you can't do anything with it. No point. The stuff in the freezer was all good, but all of those, I want fresh apples and fresh oranges and all of those kind of things. They tasted horrible. You couldn't do anything. Who would have thought that you would have loved, missed, or not wanted, looked at a cup of tea and felt sick after you struggled there to make it? So there was a lot of stuff on that. And then going back online and then talking to my friends, it was a lot about isolation, about people being on their own, about I'm in a few networks and women in business and Athena and things like that. And it was all of those women again in their late 30s, 40s that are pretty high achievers, and they bought their lovely flats in Docklands and Limehouse and all of those kind of places, you know, by the dockside and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all they wanted was a bit of green space, but they couldn't get out to get that green space. So as the weather warmed up and things improved and I was able to move out into the garden, they didn't do that. And those simple things you never thought you wanted, because they were the kind of women, like myself as well, that you'd meet your friends in the evening and you go out for a glass of wine or for dinner, listen to music.
Same here.
You don't have to do in your house. You couldn't do it. And that's when, and that for them was a great sense of loss and how they were going to gee themselves up in that. And then also deal with the fact of how are you going to keep your business going during that time. So yes, it's been a lot of it has been about how you can cope with that. And fortunately, with my business, I have things that I was actually able to sell to them to help them through that process.
Okay, so tell me a bit more about World of Sandra and worldofsandra.com and how you got into health and well-being.
Right. So, well, for me, I became involved in this business about 3 years ago. I'm actually going into my fourth year now. And I wasn't really interested. I wasn't looking for something to do. I was quite settled. I was studying, didn't really want anything more to do. But what actually got me was the fact that I found these health products, and they were absolutely beautiful. And I love things that are gorgeous. I'm one of those women that you only have to show me something once. If I want it, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
There's no thinking or worrying or challenging or anything else. I've worked hard to get to where I am.
Yeah.
And so the consultant that I was working with at the time, she actually said to me, actually, if you're not interested in the business, why don't you just get involved and you can buy everything at wholesale price? I said, oh, that works for me. And so then what happened then was that a lot of my friends who had come to the party that I'd had, that she'd hosted, said to me, oh, we want this and we want that and I want some of this and I want some of that. And it just went from there, really. So I had to do a bit of learning and find out how magnets work and how they work with the iron in your blood and improve your circulation and promote healing and all those things. And those are things I can go into, because that's not for this that's for another session. It's been a business that's been going for the last 20 years. It's owned by a German lady. It's fully funded. She doesn't have any debt. So that's quite good even for a business in this day and age, because we don't have the issues of seeing, unless she decides that she's not going to do it anymore, then that would be different. But she's very passionate about it. But I wanted to do something more. And so I decided to develop World of Sandra, because that's been something that has always been at the back of my mind, even like the studying that I was doing up to the last year, that I'd like to create some kind of community, because like yourself, I'm a very social person. I know people. People want somewhere where they can meet and talk about different things, whether it be getting older, their children, the grandchildren. There are some people that haven't had any children and are just looking at other ways, about wine club, about food, about reading, so many different things. So that's, for me, is what I'm trying to create World of Sandra to be, a place where women of a certain age can go to get information and be part of something and actually be able to take part in it rather than to be a spectator of it.
That's amazing, and especially in the what we've now labeling the new normal, where things have really changed and we're moving into, everyone's being forced to move into the digital online world. And I think it's wonderful that, I don't want to say, well, ladies of a certain age that were maybe technophobes. I mean, mom is a huge technophobe. Now she's on WhatsApp sending me videos. I'm like, what's going on? You know, but not feeling isolated from technology and kind of not being left behind with it as well, and finding their niche, finding their tribe as well, and being included in part of that. And I think that's really important, to have a community kind of spirit for, you know, ladies that, especially now when it's isolated, you still, I mean, I did say you could drink on this one. I mean, you know, I'm not drinking at the moment, and
that's always have a drink. That's how I start. Yeah. Have you got your drink?
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I have sat on I've sat on a couple of fun work calls where, you know, I stopped drinking on Zoom calls simply because I got absolutely foobarred in front of my colleagues. And then we had another colleague that decided to show off his very expensive whiskey by blowing it out and lighting it on fire and creating a fireball, and this guy's working out of a wooden hut in his back garden. Yeah, so I stopped drinking on work calls after that one. But we are where we are, and it is become the new normal, and being online and online capable and being able to share and talk and share ideas and talk to each other is so important. And as I mentioned before, it's a great part. It's very important to mental health as well, knowing that, you know, we're all in this together. You're not alone. You may be isolated in a location, but you can still get out and speak to other people in the world as well, which I absolutely love.
Can I just drop something else in there again? Yeah. As well? I mean, it's sort of like it touched into the second part of one of the questions that you've asked me to think about. But I remember and this again was about 10 years ago. I wasn't interested in, I didn't want to have anything to do with Twitter. I didn't want anything to do with WhatsApp. What's WhatsApp? I didn't want anything to do with Facebook. Was the worst. Why would I want to go onto Facebook? And then I remember it was my boss at work, actually. He said to me, Sandra, I do everything. And I said, Chris, why do you do everything? And he said, because I don't want to turn into my dad. I said, what do you mean? And he goes, I don't want to turn into that person where I need to be ringing my grandson to come and turn on the video. So I make sure that I learn how to do everything. Yeah. I swear to you, that weekend I was on Facebook.
it's true, yeah.
And I said to my kids in that at the time, and I've even had the conversation with my friends and colleagues and things since. And I said, my kids have let me be a part of their world, their social media world, which, you know, sometimes you don't want to see.
Yeah.
But I don't comment on it. And they know I'm not going to comment on it, because at the end of the day, for me, it is at the moment, then at the time, it was just a way of being engaged in what they were doing. I could see what they were doing, knowing where they were having a good time or not having a good time. But now it's more, it is a way of contacting. And I know how to do it that well that I know if they go and live in America or Alaska or Iceland or somewhere in Europe or outer Manchester the closest one was the furthest one, I'll be able to contact them. It's just like last Christmas now, I'm having these, not arguments, but these long conversations with my mother about Zoom. Three buttons. Turn on the iPad, press it again to go to the page, press the blue Zoom button, that's it.
Yeah. Unmute your microphone.
On it's long.
I absolutely love that. I can't, there was something else I was going to say, it's just completely
going
gone.
Into retirement.
I love it. Oh, that was it. Because it's the same with my nieces and nephew, and my eldest nephew, who did one of these shows, Ruben. I do talk about him quite a bit. I love being an auntie because I love trolling him. And I troll him all the time. So I'm really surprised that you don't that you do not troll or resist the urge to troll your kids, because, you know, my kids have had issues.
The reason I've done that is, again, it has caused issues for people I know that have done that.
Okay.
Because I've always said I'm not interested in young people's business.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to be interested in mine. I remember when I was young and I did more than they do now. Trust me. They're soft. All of this New Year's, they're standing around looking at you thinking, what am I going to do next? It makes no sense to me.
You know, that's the maddest thing. You realise that you were actually worse than that generation.
I was worse. I was out 7 days a week. I wasn't out 5 days a week or 4 days, 7 days a week. And I got up and went to work.
I remember, you know, working, studying at uni. My God, my 21st birthday was a write-off. I was the next day, I don't even know how I crawled into uni, but I was completely up. Just completely done, gone, just mashed, you know. And then I could understand now with lockdowns, some special birthdays aren't being celebrated. But once again, I said to my wonderful nephew that I'm still trolling, even now, I'm still trolling this kid. He says something along the lines of he didn't want to go out for his 21st birthday. And I remember I was at work speaking to him, and all of my colleagues just heard me say, if you do not go out and get completely pissed on your 21st birthday, you're no relation to me. I told him that straight. You're not related to me. Go out and get drunk like normal 21-year-olds. But
I never used to get drunk, but I never needed to have a reason to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. And I was out every week, but then we had more. I don't even know, because I don't know what clubs and things you guys have now, but we had clubs that ran every day of the week and we were there.
I think more when I was a student, you had a lot of student nights during the week. So I'd go out during the week and work during the weekend. So for me, it's just kind of the opposite. I could work my Friday and Saturday nights quite easily because I went to every student night going during the week and still studied somehow. But I completely get it. I think the younger generation, you know, so I think that in some ways are still really stuck in their electronic devices. But don't get me wrong, they do get out there, and you know, I love to take my nieces and nephews out when I used to look after them when they were younger, and we'll go for walks down the canals and stuff, and they absolutely loved it. And I also think, you know, balance, you know, some time on your electronic devices, sometimes to study, and then, you know, outdoors, get outside, run, fall over in dirt, you know, that's what kids should be doing. But yeah, you know, I don't even have any kids, but I had such a ball with my nieces and nephews, you know.
Kids don't have to stop you if you've got good parents, because my parents were the fabulous. And you could call me at 10 o'clock and say, Sandra, there's a party.
Wow.
And I'd say, when there's a party, or vice versa. And we'd wrap up those kids in there, whatever else. We'd drive down to my mum's, go in, push them in the bed and go.
You know what? This is another thing. I mean, this is what this podcast is about, is kind of talking about these things. And, you know, everyone kind of my age, and this is what I'm glad about the generation of the family, and we still got a little bit of this now. I mean, obviously with COVID it's hard, but it's the whole family parties, you know, and you get sent upstairs, you're running upstairs with your cousins, all you can hear is a bass just coming from downstairs, like through the walls, and you're expected as a child to go to sleep. Come on, it never happened. And then the amount of times, especially at grandma's house, and this is a running thing that I always say about, you know, this is traumatizing for me as a kid. We go to a family party, running around with my cousins, all my uncles and aunties are there, and then I'll try not to fall asleep, because the moment I fell asleep, I'll wake up the next morning in some bits of nightwear that my grandma had tucked in a drawer somewhere, in a bed with my cousin's foot in my face, and my parents are nowhere to be seen. They'll put us to bed and leave us there, and I'll wake up the next morning, oh, where's mom, where's dad? This is why I got issues. You know, but there's nothing, I don't think there's anything. It's does that still happen? Do we have these, because I'm an adult now, it's hard for me to tell. I've never seen kids being shoved in a bed, but about time.
As a young person myself, my parents never went anywhere. We weren't people that traveled around and went to family parties and things like that at all.
Wow.
We were quite although we knew our extended family, and we used to spend 2 weeks every year each other, with each other. We'd all used to travel to one of my dad's sisters and go and stay down there for, it was either a week to 10 days every year. That was it. Other than that, we were on our own, Christmas and all of those kind of things. And it would only be my aunt and our family that would celebrate Christmas and Easter and all of those kind of things. But it was as an adult that my parents came into their own. And then because, as I know, they don't go anywhere, they only go to church. I mean, I've New Year's Eve, I've taken my kids to church and said, there's Mrs. down there. and they push the kids down because they know they're going there. And I say, bye, see you tomorrow or the day after. And she'd be looking out because she knew they were coming. And she'd to get them all home. It was fabulous.
Oh, my goodness. That is brilliant.
The influence of your cousin.
So I've been to church on New Year's Eve a couple of times and I've had a whale of a time at the service, but I thought you were going to say you had a great time at the church. No, you literally just dropped the kids and left. That is amazing. That is hilarious. So now I understand why my parents used to just leave us at grandma's. In fact, I don't even want to think about it, actually.
They would say, oh, leave them, come back tomorrow.
Yeah. And then you come back to some traumatized four-year-old that's, you know, got abandoned by a parents and woke up in a bed full of with her cousins. Like, great, great. Traumatizing kids, Caribbean style. Yeah.
You love it. Those are the things that memories are made of.
Sadist. Okay, so I'm going to go into my first question that I really want to ask you. And so think back. And so what is the best piece of advice that someone from the older generation has ever given you that shaped person that you are today?
Okay, right. So I have given this some thought, and I've always been quite resilient and able to adapt to things quite quickly, and this is probably part of the reason why I don't like change. So although I can change and adapt, I don't like it. So I remember when I left school, I wanted to be a HR manager.
Wow.
And I planned it. I wanted to get into HR and I wanted to work in the private sector, not the public sector. And I wanted to specialize in older persons' plans, because at that time they were talking about nobody was going to have job for life and all of those kind of things. So if you did make it, I wanted to be one of those people that did the planning with you as to how you were going to do your plan your retirement
when
those kind of things. No, it didn't happen. My mother didn't like it.
That's so, an amazing plan.
Yeah, and I listened to one of your it was actually Dwight's podcast. Yeah. And he was talking about how we were never given the opportunity to do things that were different because our parents didn't understand them. And for me, that was one of the things that was quite hard for me.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I became a nurse, which is what my mother wanted me to do, because I come from a family of nurse managers. And then what happened there was that I was advised, I'm sort of like mixing two things in here to answer this question. That's why it's sounding a bit thing. But first of all, a bit of advice I was told before I had my interview was that at some point in the interview, they will say to you, do you want to be a manager or do you want to do more nursing care? And you need to choose that you want to be a manager, because there were two types of nurse, an enrolled nurse and an SRN nurse. And the SRN nurse is the one that moves on. And I thought, yeah. And lo and behold, it was a very good interview. Mm-hmm. I had all the qualifications to be a registered nurse. But he did look at me and say to me, so, Ms. Drysdale, what kind of nurse would you like to be? And so, and it was like word for word. Do you want to do more management or do you want to do more hands-on nursing care? So I said, I want to do management because I think that's where my strengths lie in that. And he just said, fine. And I started the following month. But that is how fine that line is that can define your career and decide what role you're going to change. Because it wasn't easy after you decided to go down that road to retrain and become a registered nurse.
Wow.
So anyway, so I did that. As I said, I only did that because my mother wanted me to do it. And so it was with great pleasure that at the end of 3 years and 3 years and 8 weeks, I was able to say, I've done this. So remember, there were even a number of days at the end of that. I've forgotten those now. And then, so then she said to me, what are you going to do? Just like all of the people that I trained with, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm leaving. I never wanted to be here in the first place. But I wasn't one for doing something in half. I started it, so I was going to finish it.
Yes, completely get that.
And then I knew that I wanted to work in local government I wanted to work in local government or a local authority. And I was actually fortunate enough to get a job in local government. And the reason I had to do local government first was because there was all these issues with Ken Livingston and the local authority, and all of the jobs were ring-fenced for people that were already within the local councils that they could apply for those jobs. You couldn't apply for them externally. But that was just at that time. That did change eventually. And so I went to local government and I loved every single minute of it. Oh my God, did I excel in that place? The whole everything. It was where I was meant to be. And I remember that I wanted to get promoted because that's what you're supposed to do at our age. And but there, it's in local government. It's a bit slower than it is. I didn't even know it was slower, but it's quite slow to get promoted. Mm-hmm. So I started to look outside in the local authority where I was looking before. And I saw this job come out. I was working in benefits in local government, you know, down at your local, I wasn't at the Dole office. I was at the supplementary benefit office. You know, where the claimants come in and do their, you call it family credit or something now like that. But it used to be supplementary benefit then.
Okay.
And what happened then? Oh, then I went to benefits at the local authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the chief exec at the local government saying to me, they're really going to miss me. I was bawling. I was working right up to the day, to the minute I left. And I looked up and I saw there were all these people around me. And he said to me, we give you 6 months. And if you want to come back, we'd love to have you. And that for me was fantastic. Look, it makes me cry thinking about it. So anyway, so then I went on and said no. But when I got to the local authority, I hated it.
Oh, dear.
I hated it with the people were all stuck up. And whilst, even in local government, it was sort of like there were more white people than black people. You didn't really notice it so much there because everybody just got on as one big family, and we were such a wide age group of people as well, because I was still in my early 20s and they went up to their 50s and 60s. And in the local authority, I found they were sort of like more in their 20s upwards, but it was a hierarchy of age and people in their different positions and everything else. And I thought, I can't stand this place. I'm going back. So I said to my mum, I don't like it. I want to go back. So she said to me, why do you want to go back? Because I don't like the people. And she actually said to me, you can't make people make you do something you don't want to do. So I thought about it. And I thought, how am I going to cope with this? Because this is, I need to do this because there are more opportunities for me here.
Yeah.
So for me, that was the statement from my mum. Even going back to the fact that she made me do something that I didn't want to do in the first place. to make me stay and progress my career within the local authority.
Wow.
And I haven't looked back since then, really, on that. And I've gone on to now to love that and love the different departments that I've moved through as I've worked there. But it was hard in the beginning.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, because my parents have had chats like that with me when I was having a bad time when I was working in one of my first jobs, being at a KFC. And funny enough, I remember KFC was actually in the national news at that time for workplace bullying. I mean, it was horrendous what you put up with there. And, you know, you're getting paid, well,
nothing.
I mean, it's better than I worked there before the minimum wage, and it was quite high compared to what I was getting paid actually working in an office. And you know, you're there part time, and it's one of those places where if you progress high up, oh gosh, yeah, there's a lot of money in it, don't get me wrong, when you get to manage store manager upwards, yeah, you get money and company cars and stuff. But there's a lot of workplace bullying going on, and I did have a big particular hard time in some respects. When I look back, that's a whole different episode of this. If I was to go into, I could do an entire show just based on what I experienced in 5 years of working at a particular KFC, but I might get sued, so I better stop talking. but it was in the national news for workplace bullying, and you know, but my parents still were of the mind of, you gotta work, you know. It's just like, don't let people run you out, and when you quit that job, what are you going to do? And just like, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown, thanks parents, yay. Yeah. But you know, there can be, I look back and, you know, I have had conversations with mom and said, you know, sometimes I don't think that advice was best placed considering what was really going on. But I just accept it as, once again, it's a parental view, that it's just about, they want you to make something in your life and do something and do well, even if it is like job, and not be run out of the company by other people. It's, yeah, don't let anyone run you out of this job, no matter the fact that you're about to have a nervous breakdown. Don't let other people run you out. And it's about, if you are going to leave, you leave on your terms to go, that's, and do it, something else. Yes. Not just quit and sit down at home doing nothing, which, yes, I wouldn't have done, but that's how, yeah, they made it feel to me. So I get that, definitely get that.
I was going to say something to you then, and it's totally gone out of my mind. But there is, even when you say that, I mean, I had a Saturday job at Littlewoods, and I loved working there. I like to work, and you know, and I, yeah, like the excitement of it. I like getting my money. I like spending my money. That's the only reason I work, for money. There's no other exchange I'm interested in. If you can't pay me, I'm not coming. You know,
true.
And I remember that to get that job, you had to be sitting X number of exams and put all of this on the form, and you had to have plans for the future, and you had to tell them what you wanted to do when you left school and when you qualified and everything else. But they didn't add on that they were thinking with their cheeky selves that you were going to work for them, because it's a Saturday job. And so I remembered, I was coming up to my 2 years, because I was doing my A-levels at the time when I was working there, and they called me into the office, and I'm sure I'd been late, and I'm not a person that's late. And they called me to the office and said I was late, and it must have been late back from lunch. It can't have been late back from in the
getting
morning.
Getting to work, yeah.
Yeah, and then she said, and she threatened me. She said to me that, but listen to the threat. If we have to discipline you on this matter, you may not have a job with us. And I thought, what job? What future? I didn't come here looking for a future. I told these people I wanted to work in HR. What are they talking to me about a future about?
Wow.
And if he was coming to talk to me about doing HR there, it would have been a different conversation. And you know what I said? It actually happened that it was in the August, and maybe this might have played in, now I'm thinking on it, maybe this might have played onto even what I was going through with my mum in going and applying and doing the nursing, was that it was all in the same time period. And I know that I went in there a week or two later and handed in my notice and said goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was so shocked, and I thought, and I had the cheek to think, you thought I didn't have any options.
I was just about to say that. I think one of the reasons why I think I suffered, I don't want to say suffered, put up with, or treated quite harshly, was because they knew I was studying, they knew I was going to college, they knew I was, you know, going to university. And it's not a stuck up thing, but that job wasn't the be all and end all. For some people it is. For some people, they were just making a bit of extra pocket money to buy things for the kids. Their husbands were the main breadwinners. It was their independence. But, you know, fast food places are usually associated with young people. I was one of the youngest people there, and people that I worked with were in their 20s and 30s at the time. They were grown adults to me that were just supplementing, you know, their own independent income. And I do feel like, because they knew full well it was never going to be the be all and end all, they thought, you know, just treat like rubbish. But I was sort of offered a promotion when I left to go straight into a brand new store as assistant manager, because despite the fact of everything going on, I was still good at what I did and I took pride in that job. And every job that I've had, I've taken pride in it. So I didn't look at it and say, even though it wasn't my be all or end all, I didn't just shrug my shoulders saying I'm going to do a half-baked job since because I'm studying a degree. I still worked and cleaned and marked and cooked and served everyone with the same amount of pride as if it was my career.
Yeah.
And I think some people find that hard to cope with sometimes.
Yeah. Unlike my parents, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I know what it's like out there because I've seen it, I've witnessed it, and I've tried to work hard enough to give my kids options in the jobs that they've needed to do before they've found their way.
Yeah.
And I've been able to, I have been able to have conversations with, say to them, you don't need to be bothered with that. I'll help you with that until you can find somewhere else. And that is something that I fought and worked hard so that I was going to be able to do for them, because that's all I could do for them. Because I know what these people are like, because what they do is they say to you, oh, we understand that you're at uni. We understand that you're at college. We understand that you've got this going on, and we will give you flexible hours to work on, and we will give you this. Then all of a sudden, we've only got this shift. We've only got that shift. Or you need to cancel going to see your family at XY because we need you to do this. And they shift the goalposts.
Yes.
But when they know that you have a choice, they don't take that advantage of you.
Yeah, they do. And I think it's amazing what you said, that, you know, with your children, you wanted to make sure that they had the choice. So it's not a case they can walk away from a situation that isn't working for them in any way, shape and form. It's not making them happy, and be confident that it's not so much bank of mom and dad. You know, I don't have to pull up with this. I'm not going to be any worse off because you got the backing. They have your backing. And once again, you know, our parents did what they can and they did what they knew. And, you know, I'm never going to say that, you know, mom was completely wrong in this. I understand that they're just doing what they know at that time. And, you know, to hear you say that, you know, I think that's incredible. And once again, the whole point of this podcast is talking about how we're making things different for the different generations and kind of learning from, you know, what traumatized us, let's be real, and not repeating it and not repeating it.
People coming up to me now and saying to me, can they have a word with me? And men and women, mainly men, bursting into tears because they can't cope in the workplace, because they can't cope with this. And I try to help them with coping strategies and tell them what to expect and what it's like, because it's not easy. And for me, what is difficult is the fact that not enough has changed.
Yes.
Even with all the talk and the talk and the talk. I know we've talked a lot about Black Lives Matters and workplace unconscious bias and all of those sorts of things. And it's a real source of pain to me that I still, my worst fear is that if my son, who for no reason of his own ends up in a police station, will he come out alive? And I've done everything I can to ensure that he should even get in there, but he doesn't have to do anything.
And I think that's what what's come out a bit, Black Lives Matter is, it's not that we're saying we matter more, it's just that, you know, you got two people that walk into a police station and you just got one person just on the basis of the color of their skin, it's automatically assumed to be the bad one. And you're right, might just not come out alive or in one piece. And, you know, it's, you know, one of the, ironically, on the other side of the fence of that, I saw a post that was written by the police, and it was pretty powerful. And it just shows that you've got some police forces that are trying to work on this. And it just says, you know, we want children, young Black children, to know that when they're in trouble, they come to us and not be afraid of us. I think you got a long way to go on that one, but at least you recognised it. you know. And that's it, because you'll have generations of kids both in the UK and in America that as soon as they see blue lights or siren, they're running for what they think is their lives.
Yes.
And where they should be able to run towards those lights if they're in danger themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. It's still what, 2021, and we're still having this conversation. It's crazy.
It's difficult. Or even my son, my son is very successful. Has his own business and everything else. He's very successful, and
That's great.
Oh, yeah. And he wanted to buy this bike.
Yeah.
What? This is the bike. It's some expensive bike. If you think, the bike is actually back there on the wall. Oh, nobody else can see it.
Yeah, it's great. This is a great picture, actually.
He was doing some. He's doing some modelling for me.
Oh.
I said, when he got the bike, it was a case of, are they going to stop you now? You got the bike, to ask you how you can afford that bike. It's like, how can you afford that car? Is it, why have you got a big bag? How were you able to go shopping?
It comes in all shapes and forms as well. And then he's thinking, if I don't know, it's just going to go down a really dark path. But I get what you're saying. And you know, you growing up, your children, your children's just, they're absolutely amazing. They're beautiful, very responsible young adults. You know, you and your husband have done an absolutely amazing job. I am going to say that, you know. But you never stop worrying. I say that as if I got kids on my own, but I've got nieces and nephews. I still worry about them. You know, a lot. And even with my my middle nephew, you know, he's smart, he's intelligent, well brought up, but I'm still thinking he's, you know, 6 foot odd tall, and I still see him as this sweet little boy. And it just, you know, even as an auntie, you have that fear about, you know, when to stop being this cute little boy to a threat just because he's 6 foot tall. But I know his heart, and deep down, he's just this wonderful, sweet kid that is just laid back, just living his life. It's, you know, it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that at all. Anyway, are you ready for question number two?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what piece of advice do you wish that someone from the older generation told you that you had to find out for yourself?
Right. So the question that I wish that someone had given me, or the piece of advice I wish someone had given me, that was, I wish that someone had told me that I had the choice to say yes or no.
Hmm.
And I think, as much as I did well in nursing and the interview and everything else, I would have said no and I wouldn't have gone. Because that's 3 years gone. I could have, my course would have only been 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been established in something else and taken a completely different direction. It would have changed the whole of my life doing something new. I might even, because I'd gone to, because I was actually going to go to Polytechnic. I wasn't going to go to university. So I wasn't even going to be far from home, because I'd even worked out that I couldn't afford to be far from home. But I think I should have just gone, because then I wouldn't have had that issue of, you know, you've got to contribute to the home or whatever else because you're no longer at school. I should have just found another way. I'd have got a grant. Those days you could get grants. Because I hadn't thought about it. Sometimes I think I should have done that and gone that different way, but I didn't. And that was that. But so what I would say is, I've also gone in, and very rarely used to say no to anything. Like, people would ask me to do something for them, and then I'd figure out in my mind, okay, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to fit this in? What am I going to do? What do I need to change? Whether it be family, work, whatever else. How many hours do I need to stay here to do this, whatever else? Now I say no. And it's like, they just never look up to me. Now it's a case of I'll sit there and I don't say anything, and I see everybody's face. I used to be the one who had their face up in the meeting. And then I'd look up, everybody else's head was down. My head is down. and then if it does come up now, I say no. In fact, I don't need to put my face down now, because I'm saying no. I'm giving you a good reason why I'm saying no to. And whether it be about capacity, whether it be about you're not clear about what you want, or whether it be that my colleagues need to do some work. But I'll say that too. But I'm not afraid of that word. Generally, because I've done a lot of capacity building and working with the community and everything else, when I first started to work with these groups, which were full of like these middle-class white women, upper-class white women that think they know it all and you'd be the token black person there. Because for years within, I'd say last 15 years, might even be longer, I've been the only black person in a lot of the meetings that I attend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm used to that now. And then, they came in. I don't know if they saw a different person when I went to work for them. But either way, it's a case of, I say no. And they don't like it.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, why? And I said, because it won't work. What you want will not, makes no sense. And for X, Y, Z reasons. And it's like, oh, okay. Or, no, you can't have that. I say, why? Because you haven't paid the bill. Where do you think the money's going to come from? And it's a simple thing like that, particularly when you're working with organisations.
Yeah.
They all want to buy something or they want to do something. They've all had this good idea. And you haven't paid the electric bill, the water bill, the broadband bill. Who do you think they're phoning? It's me. So you can't have it.
So you like that.
You know, so yeah. So and it's nice when you get to that sense of realization which comes, and it does come with a respect when people actually sit and think, you know, so
that is exactly what I was gonna say to you. Do you feel like you get more sense of respect because you are that person that is not afraid to say no, but not no as in being disrespectful, it's no with an actual reason and conviction behind it, and they respect, you know, when Sandra says no, it means no. It's a hell no.
Yeah. I had someone the other day, they were saying to me, they were going on and on, this meeting after meeting after meeting. They want a reduction in this, they want a reduction in that. Da, 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 da. I said, I don't even know why I'm here. And they said, well, why is that? I goes, because you haven't paid anything. So what do you want the reduction on? And then it was like, everybody just went quiet. And it's like, okay, we'll go away and we'll come back to you.
Hey, every business likes free, right? Or like, discount.
And then they transition into a period where it's forgotten. They don't like me for that either, because I don't forget anything.
I'm like that.
They will not forget.
Well, because sometimes it's your backside that's in the firing line if you do. So you have to keep track of these things.
Yeah, you work out now how to do that. So what I would say is, the best piece of advice that I can give to be a person is about being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even ask that question. You just launched right into it, but go on.
Yeah, being true to yourself. And that's not the third question, is it?
It is. I asked it, but carry on.
Oh, no, I'm still doing number two.
Okay, yeah. Carry on.
I was just going to say that the best advice, as I said, that I can give on that is be true to yourself.
Yeah.
And it's to say no. If you need to say no, whether it's yes or no, don't be afraid to say what you understand is true. Because at the end of the day, particularly where organisations are run now, you need to be truthful and just put it out there and not worry about it. Don't even tell anybody. Don't let anybody say it for you.
Mm.
You're not going to die. People think that if the word no comes out their mouth, something's going to come and swallow them up and kill them.
Or lose their job.
It's not.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose your job anymore for saying no. Because you've got an industrial tribunal out there. And there's no limit on race.
It's true. I mean, a lot of people are to say, afraid to say no. I've been through that where I say no. And I think I can say yes or no to a lot of things, actually, because it's my job to assess things and risk assess things, and if I don't like it, I'm like no. But that's what I'm paid by my company to do. And but in other jobs, like especially when I was younger, you know, I have such difficulty with the word no. But it's not just with work, it's outside of work, social interactions as well. There's many times where friends, I'm using air quotes, wanted to go out, and they were negative people. They were energy drainers. They were just out to show off and take pictures for the Instagram, or just to eat at a fancy restaurant, and their financial situation was always different to mine at that time. You know, I just brought a place, I got a mortgage to pay, bills to pay. And you know, when that situation changed and I'm doing some job that I'm in now, you know, I worked really hard, I do overtime on call, and I got to the point where I'm thinking I work too damn hard for my money, and my free time was too precious to spend it with those people. So even though my financial situation had changed, I'm thinking I've worked too hard to sit in an expensive restaurant with people that actually don't really like me, and I realized I didn't particularly like them, and I don't like their attitudes. And I'm like, what am I doing here? So when they'd be saying, Donna, do you want to come out? Do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? It was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd actually have that anxiety when the WhatsApp group is twittering away and they're planning this and they're planning that. What are you gonna wear? You know, I'm a woman, but I'm not a girly girl. I'm not gonna coordinate and ask and dress the same way as my friends. And it's just literally as soon as I can see the what time we're meeting. What are you wearing? Are we wearing dresses? Are we wearing trousers? Let's wear black. I literally could just feel the anxiety coming up, and I'm thinking, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah,
you know. So there is a lot of power in saying no and saying it with conviction. I completely agree with you there, and I do wish I said no a lot more. I think that would save me a lot of anxiety. Especially socially, and you know, going back to my KFC story, I really wish I said no more when they said come in for this shift, we need you. I should have just said bleep off and then also
for those that feel that they don't have that if you just want to make it formal but you don't want to, you must always remember that in your reports you can always recommend a no, and that's not saying no, you've just recommended it.
Yeah,
and you can always refer back to that.
Absolutely. I like it. The power of no. There's a lot of power in that. And yeah, fabulous advice. So, and I'm going to ask you the third question.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Yeah. So what advice would you give either your younger self, the younger Sandra, or the younger generation in general?
Okay. This one I had to think about long and hard.
Mm-hmm.
Really, because the world of work is a very different place to the one that I entered. Oh my God, was it 40 years ago? It was, and that doesn't include holiday jobs and things from school. And and young people these days, and it's because they're sort of, is it second generation now?
Second, third, even sometimes.
Yeah, in some instances. Because I remember once I asked this young man that was working in a leisure centre that was what was part of one of my buildings, and I said to him, "Where's your mum from?" And he said, "I think he said must have said Camberwell or something like that." And I said, "Where's your dad from?" And he said, "Peckham or something." And I said, "No, just that stupid question that white people ask us." And I said, "No. Where's the such as that?" He said, no. And I couldn't work out in my head why his parents were from England. But I'm from England. My husband's from England. There is nobody that's coming from Jamaica anymore. You know?
A realization just hit you with a ton of bricks, like, okay,
you know, it was quite. I walked around for most of that evening because it was in the afternoon, and I walked around for the most of that evening thinking to myself, wow, I asked him that question and that was the answer. At first I thought he was wrong and telling me nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But so young people have higher expectations because they've been here a long time, just like we've been here a long time. And we expected the struggle. But they don't expect, they didn't expect the struggle. We had our mm-hmm. parents to warn us about the struggle and tell us that we needed to do work twice as hard as one yeah. person to another person and all of that. And our young people these days are still expecting that to be treated as equals. And that is what's yeah. causing a lot of the issues for them in the workplace, about mm-hmm. how they reconcile that and what we do about that. And they should just have a place. And that's one of the sad things. I'm trying to, that my eldest son, for instance, he's very successful, as I said before. Mm-hmm. He has his own business. And my daughter, she's only 27, but she earns as much as I do now, and she's settled. And my younger wow. son, he's still finding his way, but he's been allowed to do that, to find his way. He's typically British than the other two, in that he spent a lot of his time traveling to music festivals up and down the UK and
wow.
and walking around half naked. I see that from his.
He's a hippie. He's a hippie.
Yeah, well, he's in essence, he's got all the hair that goes with it. It looks really good on him, to be honest.
Yeah.
And when they were young people, I did try to expose them to as many things as possible that would allow them to have more choices and to yeah. make the decisions that would make them grow as individuals. And I'm also an advocate for living for today, because tomorrow may never come. And that comes maybe because I've had my history of illness and I've come through the other side. So what I'm saying is that you live for today and try not to live your life with any regrets. Wherever you want, and whatever that is, when you're old and grey, and what you need to try and do is ensure that when you're old and grey and sitting in that wheelchair, God forbid, you know, with everybody running around you, that you can actually sit there and smile wistfully and think good memories, that you lived a good life,
absolutely,
did what you wanted to do, and you're happy.
Absolutely.
So that's what it is. Do whatever it is that you need to do in order to be a fulfilled member of society and to be happy with the decisions that you make and have made.
Fabulous. I absolutely love that. And I love how when you're talking about when you're old and grey and wheelchair bound, you know, I've always looked back. You know, I like to travel and have my little adventures and see different parts of the world and eat every different kind of food, and the only thing I don't eat is something that I don't like or I'm maybe allergic to. And I always thought, you know, when I'm in the old people's home, sat in my chair, you know, I'm going to be the cheeky old lady with a grin on her face that sat there chuckling, because I just remember something that I did at 25.
Absolutely.
I completely hear that. Mm-hmm. I completely hear that, because, you know, that's how I, you know, you just want something to just laugh about and yeah. chuckle about to yourself when you're 90, like, oh, that was yeah. a good one. That was, yeah.
And like you say, and if you go back to even to what you were saying before, if you've got any dead wood in your life, get rid of it. It's not worth the time and energy that it takes yeah. up. If you need to make a change, plan a change. I'm not saying we've talked about doing what you need to do, but just don't be irresponsible about it, but plan a change, because yep. it is within your power to do that. Give yourself time. I remember one time I was pissed off in a job, and it was about my money. And again, I don't think I've already said already, don't mess with my money. And I looked up to God and I said, as long as God is my witness, in 3 months I'll be out of here.
Yeah.
And I got my head down and 12 weeks to the day, I handed in my notice and I went to a job that paid me £10,000 more.
Nice.
You know, so you can do it. Just plan. And it doesn't yeah. and it doesn't have to be something that you tell anybody. It's your personal plan. You put it down, you write it down, and you work out what you need to do to get to that place.
That's really important as well, as you're saying about planning the change, because people can take this whole, you know, do what makes you happy and take it really literal. And, you know, like, right, I'm not happy, I'm just going to quit this job, and not think about how they're going to put food in their mouth at the end of it, or a roof over their head. It might be like, you know, I'm going to go off and travel for a year, but not have the appropriate amount of money to fall back on. So what you're saying is really, really important there. And, you know, that is definitely the business part of you coming out in this, and that kind of really wholesome advice is do what makes you happy. Don't stay somewhere that is affecting you, you're affecting your happiness, affecting your mental well-being, but don't just drop it for nothing. You've got to plan, and as you said, you know, write down what you want to do and the steps that you need to take it. And that's something that I really believe in, because you know, I do affirmations and things like that, and I listen to them, and it's just, you know, but also the part of that, you can sit there and ask for everything you want in the world, you can have the biggest positive mental attitude, but you still got to do things to earn it and to make it happen and to take those opportunities that are presented to you in order to make it happen. So I love that, it's completely true. You make that change, as Michael Jackson said, make that change.
But yeah, that's what I mean. My daughter, for instance, I was in Hawaii for my 50th birthday.
Lovely.
And I get a phone call, and she said, and she was studying in Holland because she was doing a degree abroad.
Nice.
And no, then she phoned me, she said, Mum, I can't do this.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, you don't need to stay there. I goes, you know, at that you want to leave. All you need to do, I've always said to you, all you need is a plan. All right. I goes, when do you need to give people notice? So she says she needs to let them know. I think it was in 14 days. And I think we'd only just arrived. And so I said, okay, that's fine. I goes, so you're going to be coming back. I goes, just put everything in place for you to come back, give the notice and everything and come back. And then whilst you're doing that, do you want to go back to university? And she said, yes, she'll have to go in the UK. I said, fine, just go online, because you can do that from there. Everything is done online. Find out what courses you're interested in. I said, find something easy. Because at the time, she was doing aerospace engineering.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so I said, because don't worry about that. I mean, but she didn't want to be the engineer. She actually wanted to be the pilot. So she really should have gone to pilot school, but we didn't get that translated properly. But either way, so she came back, and then she'd already applied for a new course. They'd given her a new date. She used to work in Marks & Spencer's. She got a job back at Marks & Spencer's to start there. And nice. She did everything just because that's where we talk about the support and being encouraged. Do what you need to do. Just make a new plan. And she's come back now. And as I said to you before, she's earning more than me now at IBM. She did Wimbledon. She's worked abroad. She went to Canada to work there for a year. She's, you know, it hasn't affected her. And all it was is that she could have sat there and she could have suffered and she could have gone crazy, which is my mum's fear about education, that it makes black people mad. Have you heard that one?
No, I haven't heard that.
We won't go there then. That's another... that's for another day. But anyway, but it's just about planning. Make a new plan and you can change it, and there's nothing to say. You might have a little dip in between, but the plan will get better at the end.
Absolutely. What's for you will always be for you.
And also as well, a plan can change. Don't expect that there are not bumps along it. You can make your 3 month, your 6 month and your 12 month plan, but be flexible with it. It's your plan. It's personal. The 3 months may go to 4. The 6 months might go to 9. It doesn't matter as long as you meet your goal.
Fabulous. I absolutely love that. And that is some amazing advice. Sandra, thank you so much for coming on and giving this amazing, amazing advice. And definitely some stuff to live by. And that's reminded me as well, you know, about making a plan and saying no. I do say no a little bit more than what I used to, but definitely socially. And it's just, it made such a difference to my mindset. And also, you know, you do change your friends, because you're thinking, if you're too stressed and you don't want to go out with them and they're draining your energy, they're not the people to be around. So definitely learn that.
You can outgrow people.
True.
Why can't you outgrow your friends?
True. I think I did. But back to World of Sandra. So tell us, how do my wonderful listeners get a hold of your beautiful, magnetic, jewellery.
Okay, so all you need to do is go onto worldofsandra.com. There's a button there. There's a contact page there. So you can email me if you want to get a brochure, but you actually can go through to my web shop, which is worldofsandra.magnetics-wellness.com. Don't worry about it. Just push the button on the website and it will take you there. I'm on Facebook on Word of Sandra, and also request an invite from me to join my community page on Facebook as well, and I will let you in once I've had a check of you out, because I have some strange people sometimes trying to join me there.
So once you get through this spam filter, you'll be into World of Sandra community group. You sent me an invitation for that as well. Thank you very much. I have joined, and your contact details are there, and also you on Instagram as well, under World of Sandra. Okay, well, Sandra, once again, thank you very, very much for joining me on To My Younger Self, To My Older Self. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. And I just love those wonderful grains of pearly wisdom that you dropped out on the podcast. And once again, I hope everyone listening out there can take some advice from you and, you know, just make, you know, some positive changes within their life, whether it's saying no a bit more, or changing, but having a plan to change. And if you, once again, with lockdown and the times that we're living in, your health and mental well-being is important. So also, I do recommend you guys go out and check out worldsandra.com as well. I think there's a little bit of something there for everybody in what you said, and it's very much appreciated.
Can I add something else in there?
Go ahead.
If any of you as well know anyone, might not be you, or it might be you, that is looking to start their own business online. I'm actually looking to work with new people up and down the UK. So again, if you contact me through the website and we can have a quick chat and see if setting up your own magnetics wellness business is something that you would like to do, I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So what I'm also going to do is going to share your details on my socials as well. So all my listeners can also ask, is this something that could be international as well to any of my US side listeners that might be interested? Is that something that can also happen?
At the moment, because of Brexit, it's a little bit difficult.
Ooh.
Because of the excise duties and things like that. I can talk to individuals from America if they're interested in doing that, but it is a little bit different because of the income excise taxes. But apart from that, it's quite simple.
Excellent. Well, glad to hear it. Sandra, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for joining me and having our lovely little chat.
Thank you for having me on today. I've enjoyed it, actually.
Great stuff. I'm happy.
Stimulating.
No, I loved it. I mean, like I said, it's just some absolutely amazing advice in there. And, you know, even something that I'm going to take away myself and just really think about. I think I like change. Do I plan it so much? I'm a bit impulsive. I am a bit impulsive sometimes, so you're completely right with planning stuff out. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night, take care, bye-bye. Thank you for listening to episode 1 of season 2 of To My Younger Self, To My Older Self. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you really enjoyed what Sandra had to say. As she mentioned, you know, she's been through a lot. She's a transplant recipient. She survived COVID. You know, that she's just incredible person. She's still laughing, she's still bubbly, she looks amazing, and you know, she's out there and interested in health and well-being, and you know, really telling her story and helping other people as well. As Sandra has said, if you are very interested and you'd would like to become a consultant, she's very interested in speaking to you, hit her up. If you want to look at her pieces and buy some jewelry for yourself, then do check it out. It's worldofsandra.com. As for me, don't forget little old me. I am still waiting to get a voice note on Anchor from one of my listeners. Now, please, I absolutely want to hear from you and get feedback from you. And my question's out there, what is it you're doing to keep yourself sane through lockdown? Drop me a message. And to do that, just go to anchor.fm/TMYSTMOS. That's anchor.fm. F for Foxshot, M for Mikey, /TMY, STMOS /message. And also, if you want to search for me, I am on Facebook. Join my Facebook page. It's to my younger self, to my older self on Facebook. Just put it in the search bar, you'll find me. Like and follow my page. I'm on YouTube as well. Once again, if you just put to my younger self, to my older self, and search, subscribe. And of course, wherever you're listening to me on your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Republic, and I'm on Verbal now. I'm on a new platform called Verbal. Get on there, have a listen, and don't forget to subscribe to me as well so you know when I drop a new episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please stay safe and take care of yourself. That's it from me until episode number 2. Take care. Goodbye.